Greetings in the name of the Lord. For a number of weeks, we've been studying from the book of Romans, and this book is part of God's Word, of course, and we accept it as God's Word in every way. We look to it as authoritative, as having control over our lives, as being the only true direction for our lives. And so we are thankful that we can study in this book, which especially deals with the subject of salvation. This book in Ephesians, in the book of Hebrews, and even going back to the Gospel of John, are especially dealing with the subject of salvation and what salvation means to the Christian. Now, as we have studied this book, we have studied it in a number of different ways, and let me just quickly review those for you. First of all, from 1:18 to chapter 3, verse 18, we studied, why is man lost? And then from chapter 3:19 to chapter 5, verse 21, we talked about how lost man can be saved, because that's the subject of that section. Then beginning with chapter 6, verse 1, and we're still in that section right now, we have a section dealing with the standards of God for the Christian life, and how important these standards are, and how we as Christians can follow the standards that God has set for us in the Christian life. There will be later in the book, from chapters 12 to 15, a section on the practical living of the Christian life. But these standards, of course, are very, very important. Now, as we've discussed these standards of the Christian life, there have been a number of different things that we have talked about. We have talked about, first of all, what are the standards? Then we have the difficulties of following the standards. This was chapter 7, beginning with verse 7 to the end. The difficulties of following the standards that God has set. And now we've been studying the last several times in Romans chapter 8. What a wonderful, wonderful chapter this is as well. And that is, Romans 8 is teaching us how that by the Holy Spirit we can follow the standards of the Christian life. And we talk about various things about the Holy Spirit, and we have talked about various things, but we're going to continue this subject for a couple of more lessons. The subject today is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. I would urge you, if you're listening to these broadcasts from time to time, bring your Bible with you to your radio. Now remember, the Bible is the only authoritative book that we can study. The books and the teachings of men are not reliable. And so I want to stick very close to the Word of God, even in my teaching here on the radio. The books of men are not reliable, because very often they contradict the Word of God itself. All right, let's read from verses 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses or our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I want to stop our reading right there, this very, very short passage of Scripture. And this passage illustrates the truth that I want to teach you today. And that is that in our lives, as human beings, we very often feel weaknesses. We very often feel infirmities. The word infirmity is used in the King James. It merely means weakness. And we feel these weaknesses daily. Sometimes we feel very helpless. Sometimes even as we pray, we feel that our prayers are not getting beyond the ceiling. Even though we pray sincerely, we pray from our hearts, sometimes we feel in the weakness of the flesh that we are just failing in prayer. And the same is true in every other area of our lives. And this passage is illustrating one area of our lives, and that is the area of prayer itself, where we often feel these weaknesses. But we, as we think of our weaknesses, we recognize that they expand into almost every area of our lives. We want to think the right thoughts, and we don't seem to think the right thoughts. We want to do the right things, and we don't seem to do the right things. We want to speak the right words. And you can go down through a long list of things where we have desires, and yet in our lives. We often feel a weakness. Now, the wonderful thing is that the indwelling Holy Spirit is there to help us overcome these weaknesses. I want to emphasize a couple of things as we come into this subject today. First of all, many people are emphasizing emotional approach to God. In other words, if I feel some great overcoming, overwhelming emotion, then I'm going to be successful in my life. This is not God's means at all. God never promises that emotion is the basis for our Christian lives. If we're depending upon emotion and feeling, we are going to fail, because emotion comes and goes, as the case may be. Now, I want to be very fair about this. Many times I may feel some emotion, but I've learned not to depend upon it. I can't depend on emotion in living my Christian life. I'm depending upon following the Word of God, the help of the Holy Spirit in my life, and I'm depending upon God Himself to help me through my weaknesses by His Spirit. Now, some have never been moved to study the Scriptures to find what they can actually expect from the Holy Spirit as He lives in their lives. I've referred to this before. I'll go a tiny bit deeper into this today. But some have never been moved to really study the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures actually say about the work of the Holy Spirit, and what can I expect from Him? They pursue many other things, these Christians. They pursue the needs in their daily lives, but these go unmet. They have no solutions to the problems that sometimes these daily needs are going to raise, simply because they're not reading and depending upon the Holy Spirit in their lives. Now, I want to emphasize something else as we come into this, and that is that we need to be in the right relationship with the Lord for the Holy Spirit to properly do His work. When we study the Scriptures clearly indicate that our lives must be lived in the right direction. Many times we're blaming God for failures in our lives. We're blaming His Holy Spirit for not helping us with some need. Rather, we need to search our hearts and find out if we are in the right relationship with God. In other words, the blessing and favor of God is conditioned upon our relationship with Him, what kind of a life we're living. So in the Christian life, it is possible that Christians can live in defeat and will not find victory simply because they are not centered on God. They're not centered on following Him. They are not devoted to Him. They have no daily fellowship with Him and His Word. They don't pray. They don't love the Lord Jesus as they should. These directions found in John 15, 1-10, and you can study those on your own. And so there are certain conditions for the help of the Holy Spirit. Now let me look with you just for a few moments to a passage I referred to before, but we did not go into. And that is John chapters 14, 15, and 16. Just this section of Scripture. We're talking now about daily living and daily needs. And in this section of Scripture, I mentioned before, without going into it, that there are 10 different ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And I want to just briefly mention these 10 different ministries with you in these few moments. First of all, in verse 12 of chapter 14, he speaks of the works that his followers would do. Now, you and I today do not do miracles. Miracles were specifically given to these apostles in the day of the Apostle Paul and Peter and John and others, because they had no word of God. They did not have the New Testament, in other words, as yet written. They also were just beginning. They needed spectacular things done by God in their day. Now, I don't want to speak on miracles today. That's not my subject at all. But there's been a lot of false teaching on the subject of miracles today. The idea that men can lay their hands upon you and they can do somehow a miracle through them. All right, so the first thing is that these disciples would do great works. They would manifest the power and the might of God, even though they did not have the written New Testament. The second thing was, in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 14 of John, he speaks of the Holy Spirit being the one who would come alongside and help or lift them up, sustain them in their daily lives. how we need this ministry of the Holy Spirit, how He comes alongside us when we are feeling weak, when we feel defeated, when we're tempted, when we're discouraged about something, when some great loss has come, the loss of a loved one or something else that overwhelms us. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside us, literally, and He helps us. Now, He's the indwelling Holy Spirit, of course, but it's the idea of somebody lifting us up by the arm and helping us and sustaining us. And then the third thing is, in John 14, verses 18 to 21, He speaks of the Holy Spirit making the presence of God real in their lives. In other words, I know that the Lord Jesus is with me. Now, in His presence, He is up in heaven. But the Lord Jesus could say in these verses that He was going to be with these disciples. He's going to be with these followers. And in what sense would He be with them? The Holy Spirit makes His presence real to us. So the Lord Jesus is near me all the time through the Holy Spirit. Then the next thing is, in John 14, verse 26, He speaks of the Holy Spirit as their teacher in spiritual things. And we need a teacher all the time. I need someone who will be my teacher. Now, when I read the Word of God, for instance, I need someone to help me understand the Word of God, to understand its truth. The natural man, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, cannot understand the Word of God. He may pore over it. He may study it diligently. But in himself, he cannot understand the Word of God properly. But the Christian can understand the Word of God. He reads it. He depends upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is his teacher. Then another ministry of the Holy Spirit, number 5, the Holy Spirit is the giver of peace in the life of the Christian. This is also the teaching of Galatians 5:22. He's a giver of peace in our lives. Number 6, he also speaks in chapter 15, verse 11, of the joy that they would have. Now, he doesn't mention the Holy Spirit here, but in Galatians 5:22, one of the ministries of the Spirit, one of the gifts of the Spirit, is joy. Galatians 5:22, he gives peace and joy. And then next, in verse 26, and in fact going beyond 26, and going to chapter 16 now, verses 7 to 11, he speaks of the Holy Spirit as the one who would convict hearts of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Now, when we were in our unsaved state, where did that conviction come from that we were sinners and we needed a Savior? Well, it came by the Holy Spirit. When we're witnessing to people as Christians, where does a conviction come from? When we say to them the truth of the Word of God, realizing that only the Holy Spirit can penetrate their hearts, where does a conviction come from? It comes through the Holy Spirit, His convicting work. And then, in chapter 16, verse 13, he speaks of the Holy Spirit guiding them into all truth, including things to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit opens to us the entire plan of God. This is taught again in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 13. You can look this up someday in your Bibles. But this whole plan of God needs to be understood by the Christian. It's just like He opens to us the book, and He teaches us the truth. And then finally, in chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, he speaks of the Holy Spirit as the glorifier and the lifter-upper of the Lord Jesus, if there is such a phrase, to lift up the Lord Jesus before us. I want to warn you, many times in the study of the Holy Spirit, we concentrate upon the Holy Spirit Himself rather than the Lord Jesus. Oh, we give lip service to the Lord Jesus. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit here is that He will not take of Himself and of His own things, but He will glorify me. This is what Jesus says. He will glorify me, for He will take of my things and will give them unto you. And so, if the Holy Spirit, if you're following the Holy Spirit and you believe in the Holy Spirit, but somehow He is not glorifying Jesus in your life, then it means you're putting a false emphasis upon the Holy Spirit. He is the glorifier of the Lord Jesus. Now let me conclude with these words. In our lives, We cannot live our lives without His help. I realize there are many other passages which I have not discussed today. Romans 8, 26 and 27, and other passages which I could have mentioned today. And there are many of these passages that we could have referred to. But it's important for us to emphasize that the Holy Spirit meets the daily needs of our lives. In every possible way, He is our help in daily living. And that's what John 14, 15, and 16 has been emphasizing. And I trust as you study the Word of God, as you live your lives obedient to the Word of God, as you depend upon the Holy Spirit, that you will find in your lives that your daily needs are being met, and that the Holy Spirit is adequate to meet every daily need of your lives. May the Lord bless you and help you, each one, as you live and depend upon the Holy Spirit to be your helper.